Thank you for listening to this episode of the Learning Reinvented podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you've not already done so, please follow our podcast. And if the Learning Effect can help you and your organisation, please do get in touch. You can find both James and Katie on LinkedIn, and our contact details are in the show notes below.
Welcome to the Learning Reinvented podcast, brought to you by myself, James Politillo, and the team from The Learning Effect. There are lots of learning podcasts out there, so we wanted to do something slightly different. This week, we're taking an in-depth look at the learning profession and industry in Africa. I am delighted to welcome Yinka Akande to the podcast. Hi, Yinka. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, James. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Do you want to take a couple of moments to introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Hello, everyone. My name is Olayinka Akande. I work as a learning professional and human resource professional here in Canada right now. I currently work as a human resource manager for an organization called Venture Lab. And before Venture Lab, I've actually supported different industries and sectors back in Africa, where I facilitated different learning interventions and just supported organizations with their human capital development initiatives, which is something that I'm extremely passionate about, and which is what I guess, gives me the joy to be joining James today.
So it sounds like you're on quite a journey. So in our podcast, we have listeners from around the world, and we've spoken to guests from various different countries. And we always find it fascinating to take a look at how learning operates in different places. So I know how passionate you are about progressing learning in your space. So do you want to give our listeners a bit of an overview of context you operate in? So, you know, specifically coming from working in Africa, but now working in Canada as well. So it'd be really interesting to get your view on the different contexts and how that works.
Sure, absolutely. So I would say that learning generally in Africa, with a bit of more context in Nigeria, is definitely taking a different turn. I believe that, you would agree with me that there's been a little penetration in Africa in terms of what has been experienced as a small fraction of what is experienced globally is actually experienced in Africa. But that narrative has taken some, deep amount of change with all of the different changes that the pandemic and just the general world changes has brought to a country, a nation like Nigeria, for instance. And we see that the difference is enormous in terms of what people are learning, how learning has been done, the behavior of people to learning, and more importantly, I think is also just the willingness to learn, and just that drive is something that has tremendously changed that I've also just experienced from where Africa and Nigeria now sits from the angle of learning, in comparison to the Western world, which is still significantly improving over time.
So you said there's been lots of changes, and you've talked about sort of the what people are learning, how the willingness of people to learn and the passion for learning. So let's sort of roll back and look just at Nigeria and those changes you saw through the pandemic and where you see it now. So what changes did you see, and where do you see that passion and the industry being at the moment?
In terms of the changes, I think one of the things that a lot of learning professionals back in Nigeria had to do was to learn very quickly the different methods of work, which I think, I mean, is not just unique to Nigeria alone. I think for many organizations, they had to adapt to the VUCA world, which, you know, has now become a very popular terminology. But in terms of learning back in Nigeria, so the way of work significantly changed, right? Learning professionals were had the responsibility of just helping their employees to learn about the hybrid work. So how do we work from home? What tools do we need to learn to work from home? How do we learn to have virtual meetings? How do we facilitate training programs virtually? What skills are required to have online facilitation? How do you ensure that your audience or your learners are actively engaged in a learning session? Management systems do we have that can help foster learning? You know, are just a few of the number of things that organizations and learning professionals had to learn. And it became apparent that the organizations that were open to all of these changes, organizations that were open to all of these learnings, were the ones that were able to thrive, right? Especially after the pandemic. And I mean, even after the pandemic, we still see a couple of organizations struggling to adapt to all of the changes. But I think that has put a healthy amount of pressure on learning and development professionals to ensure that employees have the right competences for the new world of work. Employees are able to exhibit those competences for the new world of work with a great focus on just digital adaptation to just how work is done is just one of the many examples of some of the difference and what the pandemic has done to us also as professionals in Africa.
So you were obviously involved in supporting, as you said, that change of the way of work, because the pandemic made us all change the way we work, and also the differing skills needed of learning professionals. You know, you mentioned online facilitation, etc. So am I right in thinking before the pandemic, it would have been quite a traditional learning approach of come to a classroom, share stuff in a classroom, and there may not have been that naturally social, on the go, bite-sized content approach? Or is that how things would have looked prior to sort of 2020?
Absolutely. And I'm sure for many learning professionals in Africa probably listening to this right now, you'd agree with me that we were very traditional. I remember like facilitating or even developing training programs, 2 days training program, 3 days training program, in-class facilitation where all the attendees and facilitator had to be like in one place. And yeah, that was what we knew. That was what we're used to. But with the change brought by COVID, we had to learn to adapt, and we had to learn fast. Yeah, so I definitely agree. That was what we were used to.
So you've gone through that process of learning fast and changing the way that you deliver training. So the medium, it's not all courses in classrooms where people mm-hmm. have to be there in person. What else right. have you seen change around learning?
So in addition to the methods of learning, I think another change that has hit the African industry differently is also just the willingness for people to learn. And I think partly one of the reasons why that is just the sense that I guess a lot of businesses now get concerning learning, that it's either you learn or grow or you die, right? And I mean die now, like in terms of, you know, businesses and just the general scope of that context. So the willingness to learn. Now we see more people, and I think earlier during this conversation, James, we're just speaking about just some different initiatives that some other professionals in Africa are putting together just regarding driving learning across different professionals. So we've seen a significant change in just the openness and willingness to learn. We've seen more people attend more conferences. We've seen more people attend more learning programs. We've seen more people engage in more external collaboration. I mean, James, I met you through an external collaboration just to get a sense of, you know, what learning or how learning is done in the Western world. All right. So I think in addition to the method of delivery, one thing that has also significantly changed is the willingness and the drive and the passion for learning.
And I think that really evidently comes through whenever I've spoken to you, your colleagues and, you know, peers. In the interactions we've had, is that there is a real thirst and drive to do things better, differently, but also a real willingness to learn and share with others, which I think is really refreshing and passionate. And I know you've been key to driving some of that network, you know, in Nigeria, in the industries you're working in, and now on a wider basis. So it's really exciting to hear about some of those things you're creating. So do you want to tell me a little bit more about what that looks like and what you're working on?
Well, I would say that for me also, it's been a progressive journey, considering that back home in Nigeria, I've supported different industries and sectors with different initiatives. I mean, just thinking about it, I remember all the different interventions around the tech industry, around the financial sector, around, you know, the people development industry, back at home. And I think why I say that is progressive is because whilst the purpose hasn't changed, even being here, here in Canada, with the focus on the tech industry here in Canada, while the purpose hasn't changed, the delivery might have changed, right? The message might have changed, right? But I think in terms of just what I've done, basically to support industries, industries in the achievement of their goals, support industries in their people development initiatives and their career development initiatives, are some of the things that I would say that I have consistently done and I'm consistently doing, even now, even here in Canada.
So, and what are those things? So, you know, you supported those industries. What sort of things have you put in place to help people build that network, you know, share that willingness and passion and tap into that, you know, because, you know, Africa, a massive continent, you know, you're starting in Nigeria, but you're now reaching out across the continent. What's been in place to drive that community together?
So I think one of the things that I've done personally is to constantly just offer myself as you know, just being available to drive some of the sessions. So to date, I'm still very active in a number of coaching sessions, a number of mentoring sessions. I get invited to speak at conferences. I get invited to speak at career sessions. I get invited to speak at different organizations. And even just recently at my organization here in Canada, I'd facilitated a session on just how organizations can help build effective teams. All right. So in terms of just one of those practical things that I'm doing, yeah, just a few of the things that I'm doing and that I've done. And I also think also just facilitating group discussions. So like back home in Nigeria, we have like WhatsApp groups that, you know, quite a number of professionals and mentees are on, and you just, you know, share your thoughts, you know, provide contributions to things that can help them move forward in their career. That in addition to a number of things, but in terms of what I do or what I'm currently doing, that would include getting an invitation to speak, you know, making myself available for sessions when the opportunity comes, sharing, you know, from some of the experiences I've had with, you know, other mentees, offering coaching sessions, mentoring sessions, driving conversations from, you know, with organizations now from a management perspective to why learning is essential in driving business results. Getting buy-ins from stakeholders to ensure that many of the different interventions are approved, you know, just some of the ongoing work that I continuously do.
And I think, you know, you've had that really impressive reach of bringing people together, facilitating, creating events, speaking, sharing knowledge, asking questions. And I think, you know, and it's not just you, there's a, you know, a set of people who have a similar mind space all working together, and I think that's really great. One of the things we've touched on before is looking at how the wider learning industry views Africa and the services you've got, because, you know, there's lots of stuff happening all over the world, but what's your view on how Africa's perceived by the rest of the learning industry and the rest of the world?
Well, I'll say that for Africa, and I think it's just still back to what the point I made initially, that there's been a little penetration in Africa in terms of how learning is perceived. Like when we have a comparison to what the Western world and just globally, how they've embraced learning, we would see that a very small fraction of that is experienced in Africa, all right? But in terms of how that narrative is changing, in terms of how, of what we have in Africa, is just to say that one of the most significant things to note from this change is that there is room for innovation, there's room for improvement in the future, there's room for growth, right? Which I think is one of the greatest things that we in Africa now possess. And in just a matter of time, the narrative will change completely, because we're putting all of the right measures in place. We're doing all of the right things in place. We're learning from subject matter experts. We have a growth mindset. We're exposing ourselves to the right information. We're reading the right books. We're engaging the right resources. We're engaging the right content providers. And I think in a couple of years, the narrative. The narrative would be entirely different, just with the continuous growth that now characterizes a lot of professionals in Africa.
So it feels like, you know, there is a real open market there and a willing market that's already thirsty for knowledge, thirsty to tap in and be the best and grow and develop. So what can the learning industry do better or differently to help you and your colleagues?
So I would say three things. I would say partnership. By partnership, I mean collaboration. There are just tons of opportunities back in Africa. Lots of opportunities in Africa. I mean, just in terms of just the population of Africa, you would agree with me that there are a lot of opportunities, and learning is also one, plays a very vital place in all of those opportunities. So I'll say number one, partnership, partnership and collaboration, right, with all of this, all of these professionals. The second thing I would say would also be just a change in perspective, all right? Just in terms of how Africa is viewed in terms of learning, all right? Whilst we might be on that journey to growth, but I think one of the greatest things that will be very valuable to the industry would be a change in narrative, to say that, you know, Africa, what you knew it to be 5 or 3 or 4 years ago, isn't what it is right now. All right. So there definitely has to be that mind shift, especially as to how learning professionals in Africa, how they are viewed. Right. So I'll say collaboration, I'll say partnership, I'll say mind shift. And I think the third thing would be just, let me see now. The third thing would be, let me think about that for a second. Well, collaboration, no problem. partnership, and just a change of narrative of how the industry in Africa is perceived.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, my interactions with you and your colleagues and your peers has, you know, I think every market or every place you go and you start to work with that's not your current place of working, you know, I view it as an opportunity to learn, to understand, to embrace. And the thing that struck me speaking to you and your peers was the absolute openness and willingness to learn. And the no barriers sometimes you see in other markets. So the UK market where I sort of started, there's a lot of history that holds things back. And what I've felt when I've spoken to you and your colleagues is that there's less history in terms of you want to drive forward and you want to look to the future, not worry too much about the past. And that felt really refreshing to me. And it felt like so much could be achieved when we've had those conversations. So I think you're definitely right on the mindset thing of everyone should approach everything with an open mind, but people will have preconceptions, people will have views, people may not even know very much about Africa if they're coming from outside. You know, we don't know until we go and we experience and we live and we work alongside people. So and Africa is a multifaceted thing. It's a continent, it's not a country, it's not a place, it's a huge set of differing challenges in different places. So I think embracing that and understanding how we can collaborate and partner, I think that's really important as well, is to how we can build those collaborations, those partnerships and that mutual understanding, because that from that is where the opportunities come and that's where the strength comes and where the knowledge sharing both ways comes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you've taken a bit of a step and you've moved to Canada and mm-hmm. you're in that transition of seeing something from a different perspective. So we were having a conversation before we started recording the podcast and I said, I want to actually talk about this on the podcast. But what have you seen as the changes or surprises, or you know, what's opened your eyes in the short time that you've had so far in Canada?
Okay, that's a very interesting question. And also I say it's interesting because I've only been here for about 7 weeks. So 7 to 8 weeks. And I think one of the most fascinating thing that I've seen, and I think that I absolutely love, is just the attention to detail that I've seen here. All right. And what I mean, like paying attention, like literally paying a whole lot of attention. So from all the different interactions, and I think also it's just also the learning for me, right? The learning for me, I mean, coming in from Africa and just, you know, seeing how certain things were done back at home and certain things are done here. I think one of the greatest shifts for me is just how I've had to learn very quickly to become a lot more thorough, right, in my approach, right? A lot more thorough in even some of the different interventions that I do or that I would, you know, embark on. That I would say would be one thing that has significantly changed. I think the second thing as well that has been like a very amazing experience for me is just the depth of knowledge, right? And which is what I think I love about the Western world, just in terms of all of the different resources, all of the different things to learn from, all of the different professionals. And you know, you would also agree with me that Canada is very multicultural in terms of the people that live here. So I've had to learn from people from different parts of the world, James. It's amazing. Like I have, I've met people here from India, people from Pakistan, people from Iran, people from Jamaica. Like it's absolutely beautiful. And you know, I guess that sort of like speaks to just my growth mindset and my open-mindedness to learn, right, that sort of like made me easily integrate into that, into all of that. So I would say two key things that have tremendously, changed me over the last 7 weeks would be, number one, the depth of thoroughness in terms of the work that is done here, all right, and just how, you know, a lot of even professionals, how they pay attention to to everything, right?
Can you give me an example of that, Yinka? So you're talking about the depth and thoroughness. What, excuse me, how does that play out, or where did you notice that, or give me, you know, something specific I can understand what you mean by that.
Okay, so I'll give an example. So for example, I would say that as part of my role here, I work as a human resource manager currently in my organization. And I think it's just one of the things in terms of the depth, it's just one of the things around supporting the business. So, you know, I'm sure you'd agree, like learning professionals as well as human resource professionals are very instrumental to our strategic business partners, all right? And I think one of the things I observed very quickly in my interaction here in Canada is how all of the different business objectives, right? The business objectives, the business direction, the different elements that makes for successful businesses, how that is captured, how that is documented, how that is transferred to the employees, right? How that is communicated. I've just seen a step-by-step approach, a step-by-step process. So in terms of the wordings, in terms of the terminologies, in terms of the general concept, right? And even in terms of how I support that, all right? So how I support that from a professional perspective, in terms of how I get an understanding of where the organization needs to be in the next 3 to 5 years, where the organization is right now, right? What are the different things that needs to be done, the depth of research, the depth of assessment, surveys that has gone into just understanding that, right? Understanding the needs based on the objectives, based on the direction of the business. And I could actually go on and on in terms of what has happened in the last 5 to 7 weeks, but just, you know, running through all of that. And I'm sure that one of the also amazing thing that has happened for me is also not just being quick to deliver an intervention, right? But talking about the depth is just, you know, staying in getting a deep and clear understanding of the business direction, getting a deep and clear understanding of what the organization is trying to achieve, getting a deep and clear understanding of where the employees are in terms of that direction the business is trying to get to, getting a bigger understanding of what the competencies are, what the needs are, what the gaps are, right? And that is thorough. That is thorough. Like, it's not just something like you just wake up and just check off your box and say, oh yeah, I'm done, I'm move on, right? It's a lot of deep thinking that goes into that. It's a lot of paying attention to the to detail. So in interaction with different stakeholders, in interaction in one-on-one conversations with different business leaders, right? So it's in all of those different pieces that I've experienced, just the attention. And because without that, as a learning professional, you actually cannot make any difference if you do not understand what the gaps are, if you don't understand what the needs are, if you don't understand what the pain points or challenges or the different needs that the employees have, or the different needs that the customers, or the different needs that the business owners have, if you don't understand what keeps them awake at night, chances are that you might not be able to offer any solution or deliver any intervention. All right. So that is what I meant in terms of being thorough, or paying a lot of attention to details.
Yeah, I think you've really beautifully illustrated the complexity of a true L&D professional's task, because they have to, like you said, not just rush to deliver. They need to be thoughtful, be critical, be evaluative, be inquisitive, be curious, and bring all of those things together. The other thing you were talking about is that sort of bringing together of cultures and experiences and backgrounds. So obviously you're feeding your background and experience into that, and you're only 7 weeks in. So And you've talked about colleagues from across the globe or professionals from across the globe you're working with. So what do you think, you know, again, across that collaboration, what do you think you can share from your experience? What do you think is your, you know, secret that you're going to bring to that collection and collaboration that's going to really add to everyone else?
So I'll say to that, I think to that, one thing that I know for a fact is the culture allows for a lot of diversity, right? And it allows for a lot of inclusion, right? And I think that's one of the things that drives even the organizations here, just in terms of a difference in perspective, difference in ideas, difference in just how things are done generally. And, you know, I was speaking earlier regarding just, you know, some intervention that I had to also facilitate at work. And I think, which got tremendous feedback, great feedback from, you know, the CEO of the organization and I mean, just a number of leaders. And I think what one thing that I would say that has helped me with that is just that notion of just be who you are. Like just be who you are. Your difference is what makes you unique, right? Your experiences is what makes you unique. And also because I'm coming in from a different worldview, of course my lens will be different, right? My perspective will be different. The ideas or ideologies will be different. And I say that, you know, with practical example of some of the, you know, interventions that we have currently going on in the organization, and just how certain recommendations may be made based on what has worked back home and is working or will work right here. So what I would say to that is there's beauty in diversity. There's beauty in being yourself, regardless of where you're from, what ethnicity, what background, what gender, where you're from. And that uniqueness actually makes you unique in any organization that you find yourself. And I think realizing that has made me actually try new things, has made me, you know, offered to facilitate sessions, right? Made me offer to facilitate sessions the same concept. So you, again, it's the same concept, it's the same ideas. It's just a different location, right? But not being afraid, right, to try new things, not being afraid to explore some of the learnings. And I've also tremendously learned from all of the people here in terms of, you know, their diverse perspective and their diverse culture and all of that. And just not being afraid to try new things, not being afraid to open up and offer up a solution has been one of the, you know, greatest things that I think has helped me here.
So you've obviously just gone through a major transition, moving country, continent, new role, 7 weeks in. Where do you see yourself going? What's your career plan? What's your life plan? You know, what's next for you?
Well, I'd say, James, definitely not far from all that I've been doing over the last couple of years, and that is to continue to make impact. I'm very impact-driven. Continue to make impacts regardless of the continent, the space, the industry where I find myself, regardless of the community, continue to develop myself to the greatest part of my career, continue to change the narrative, continue to change the narrative of learning and development back in Africa, back in Nigeria, continue to support the learning and development community back at home, back in Africa, are some of the things that I definitely would continue to do.
I think that's fantastic. And, you know, that you're taking that broader view and you want to keep the legacy of what you've started going and you want to keep that energy alive. So if people have been listening to you today and they want to connect, they want to speak to you, they want to get involved in the community, any of those things, what's the best way of them doing that?
Well, I can be reached via LinkedIn. I have a very active LinkedIn account, so please feel free to reach out on LinkedIn at Olayinka Akande. Yeah, that's for now, that's like the best place to reach out to me.
We'll make sure that that detail is shared in the show notes below the podcast, so anyone can connect to you via that. In terms of the community across Africa, is there anything beyond sort of connecting with you? Is there any place people can go?
There is a community, actually, and I think James, you spoke about this earlier as well. So we have the OLXD community, right, which is just doing a lot of work. That also can be accessed on LinkedIn. But I'm very happy to introduce anyone that wants to be a part of that community. You could also just reach out to me on LinkedIn, and I'll be happy to connect you to that community as well.
Fabulous. So we'll make sure those details are there, and I'd thoroughly encourage anyone to reach out and connect with you, because they're going to have a great conversation. And as you said, your LinkedIn profile is, you're one of those people I see lots of great content coming from. You know, you're a positive influence on my LinkedIn feed, so it's be great to connect with you. Thank you very much for sharing everything today, and thank you very much for joining us, Yinka.
Thank you, James. Thank you so much for having me, and really great work you have going on also.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Learning Reinvented podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you've not already done so, please follow our podcast. And if The Learning Effect can help you and your organisation, please do get in touch. You can find both James and Katie on LinkedIn, and our contact details are in the show notes below.